Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're delving into the recently published fifth edition of the UBS Global Family Office Report, produced by the bank each year in partnership with Camden Wealth Research. The leading study offering insights into a whole range of factors that shape the family office space. This year's piece reveals a wealth of information, from the fact that family office performance has doubled year on year, to the continuation of a trend towards riskier, more illiquid investments. We'll speak to UBS's head of Global Family Office Group, amongst other experts on our panel, to pick over the findings and discuss some of the key issues that will shape the future of the space, like, are plans for succession and wealth transfer progressing fast enough? We start with Carolina Mora Alves, head of fixed income strategy in the UBS CIO. Carolina, maybe just first up, can you sort of give us a sense, I suppose, of the context of this report? It's the leading study, isn't it, that offers an insight into a whole range of factors that speak to the family office space. Perhaps you can tell us a bit about what the objectives, I suppose, are each year when this report is being put together.
This is indeed the leading report about family offices and not only how they manage the wealth of the families they serve, but also their concerns, their objectives, their investment preferences, etc. And this is actually the fifth year we published such a report. And what we're trying to do, as I would describe UBS as the premier wealth manager and certainly probably the most important counterpart to global family offices across the world, what we are trying to do is really to provide insights that both the family offices, but also our own relationship managers who interact with these family offices, provide them insights that can be useful in managing the business going forward, in essence. So one thing we know is that if each family office is unique, but at the same time, they will have a set of common challenges and objectives. And we have found historically that they find it very useful to know about how other family offices actually tackle these issues.
Well, we'll talk maybe a little bit more about some of the kind of strategic thinking and the strategic learnings from the report. But I guess let's look at maybe one or two of the sort of headlines, if you like, first of all. And one of those is simply that, well, it's been a bit of a bumper year. Certainly, if we compare the 2018 with 2017, we've seen the average portfolios returning, what, north of 15%, which is a big increase. I guess that is really the first place to start, isn't it?
Yes. So this was actually a very interesting finding for us because we, of course, have seen equity markets being very strong throughout 2017. In general, risk assets did very well last year. And we ourselves had observed in the portfolios we manage for our clients strong performance across the board. But it was very interesting to see that family offices were able to unlock this performance as well. And a lot of it through their allocation to both public equities and private equity as well. So that was an interesting finding for us. And of course, 2018 has proved to be a far more challenging and less rewarding environment, if you will. So it raises interesting questions for how they will manage their allocation going forward.
Anurag Mahesh is head of Global Family Office Asia Pacific at UBS. Anurag, I'd like to get some broad context from you and to ask whether there are any particular considerations when talking about the Asian market.
The study really looks at broadly the trends of family offices across various dimensions. So obviously the first one is to compare and contrast regional differences, if any. It looks at the size of family offices, what they've been looking to do in terms of asset class portfolio allocations, what is the cost of running a family office, what are the things most important to a family office, what are the reasons family offices are being set, so on and so forth. What are the main financial centers? What do they care about in terms of special topics such as private equity, real estate, you know, perhaps sustainable investing, impact investing, so on and so forth. So it looks at the entire gamut back to front at a regional level. So A, it is great for practitioners, great for clients, certainly to compare and contrast themselves, almost like a benchmark study and a benchmark performance level for a lot of these family offices themselves.
Sarah Ferrari is UBS head of Global Family Office Group. Sarah, let's talk about performance data. Average returns for family offices were over 15% in 2017. Can you tell us a bit about what's been driving that?
Well, the main driver is pretty much consistent with what we have seen over the past 3 to 4 years. its significant allocation to equities, both private equity and public equities. If you look at the overall average asset allocation, equities now represents roughly 28% of the portfolio. And if you add private equity, both funds and direct investments, it makes roughly 50% of the average portfolio from private and public equities. And if you look at the performance from the key global indices around equities and private equities, clearly the performance last year was particularly positive, and that's what has driven the average returns of the portfolios that we have analyzed. I think the key trend that we have seen is twofold. One is focus towards slightly riskier asset classes, so equities in general, in the search for yield, because I'm sure you know, there are not many other asset classes that can generate significant yield in the current interest rate environment. And the ability of family offices to have a longer term investment horizon compared to traditional institutional investors. And this is clearly reflected by an increased allocation to private equity.
Well, let's talk about performance data in the APAC region too. What's been driving this in particular, Anurag Mahesh? Asia's leading the way for the first time since these reports began, right?
Yeah, that's correct. So that being said, I think a 1% increase over a 14 or a 15%, I would say, is more or less in line. Yes, it is somewhat higher, but statistically not very significant. What I would like to focus in on in those results is that the returns across the board have been very robust, which are in the mid-teens, and that's certainly been driven by a very positive risk markets across equities, both developed and developing in 2017, as well as credit and fixed income markets, which were extremely benign. So I think the risk allocations then determine what the performance has been. And if you look at the performance data in the report, you would see that the equity allocations for APAC has been in line with their peers in Europe, US, and emerging markets. And certainly the alternatives, the way we define it, has been in line as well.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look at sustainable investing trends in this space and consider the critical issue of generational transfer. Carolina Moura Alves, one thing that we talk about all the time on this program, actually, whatever our thematic for the week, and almost wherever in the bank that we talk, is sustainability and a kind of a warming to this theme very broadly. And I know that in this year's family office report, there was a suggestion again that family offices are no different, sharp increases in the number of family offices engaged in sustainable investing. And I guess, again, that sort of aligns with what you and your colleagues would have expected to see.
Absolutely. So UBS's strategic focus on sustainability is the direct result of our observation that this topic has become increasingly relevant for our clients, family offices amongst them. And what we found in this report is that currently 38% of family offices are involved in sustainable investing, which is it's a large number. But more importantly, near half plan to increase their sustainable investments over the next 12 months. And I think here there's perhaps two reasons behind it. One is that sustainable investing is increasingly becoming mainstream. So at some point it becomes actually difficult to avoid investing sustainably, which I presume is a good thing. And the second one is we see the next generation coming on board, the next generation of the family. And the younger generation often is much more aware of sustainability issues and is looking to deploy their wealth in a more sustainable way. So I think these two factors together explain why we see an increase in sustainable investing within family offices.
There's lots of interesting information in the report about sustainable investing and impact investing themes. Give us an update, Sarah Ferrari, from your perspective. I guess here one interesting idea is that the family office allows investors to translate their values into returns.
It's a trend that we believe it's still relatively nascent, but it does fit quite well this group of investors. When I say still nascent, clearly family offices and families have always been extremely active in philanthropic type of investments. Sustainable and impact investing does allow families to, if you want, associate the traditional philanthropic activities with more proper investment type of activities generating returns. So we have seen an increase in exposure to this type of investment where the objective is to both create proper financial returns and at the same time generating a positive impact on society. When I say it's still nascent, obviously the industry in general, when it gets to sustainable and impact investing, is still evolving, and family offices are looking at this with interest, but I think are still struggling a bit, both in terms of generating opportunities and in terms of measuring the impact piece of the return. Despite more than one third, actually almost 40% of the family offices that we have interviewed now indicating that they have somehow exposure to sustainable and impact investing, and roughly half of the interviewees saying that they do expect this exposure to significantly increase over the next few years, the overall asset allocation to this type of investment is still relatively low. So we're working a lot with our clients in terms of education, in terms of really devising an overall strategy for sustainable and impact investing, in terms of helping them sourcing the opportunities, in terms of getting them to understand exactly how to measure both the financial returns in comparison with other asset classes, and doing the due diligence, executing transactions, and then properly monitoring the social return as well. When I say it's a trend that is here to stay and increase, that does tie pretty tightly with the expected generational transition in family offices. There is a strong indication that the new generation of family members behind the family offices will drive an increased attention to sustainability type of topics, and therefore family offices are structuring themselves in order to be able to provide the right type of investment opportunities for their own families.
And Anurag Mahesh, what about a thought from you on the sustainability question? Give us an update on the Asia picture here.
So there are one or two important dynamics at play. The first one is succession. So if you really look at it, Asia largely is first, second, maximum third generation wealth. And the wealth in North Asia, driven by the biggest economy, is more first and second generation. What that means is that in the next 10 to 15 years, you will see a huge amount of wealth being transferred over to the next generation. Already, we see the next generation becoming more and more important, running of the wealth, running of the family office. And those two trends that you mentioned are sustainable and impact investing. It's got a lot to do with the changing of the baton to the next generation. The next generation is a lot more socially aware. Their ethos are somewhat different, having largely been educated in the West. Generally, their education level tends to be higher than that of their parents. And most importantly, given a wealthier background than that of the parents, this generation can focus on things other than just making money. And so family office after family office, in every family, we see that as the next generation is getting more and more important in terms of taking decisions, the allocation to these two themes have really increased pretty dramatically.
Carolina Mora Alves, what have we learned in this year's report about succession planning and generational transfer? It remains a critical issue, but is progress fast enough?
It's a good question. There's clearly progress being made, and we see that the new generation is coming on board on either the management or being directly involved with the family office. So roughly a third of the family offices we surveyed told us that next generation already has management or executive positions in the family office. But at the same time, we also know that this is a topic at the forefront of their minds, how to manage successfully the generational wealth transfer, which is something which historically people often miss more than hit, as it were. And this is actually an area where we believe there's more work to be done and where we and other counterparties will have a role to play.
We've mentioned generational transfer already. Sarah Ferrari, what have we learned in this year's report about that? Is progress fast enough in your view?
Our view, and we have been and we will continue to stress this message, if you look at the massive transfer of wealth that is expected to happen over the next 10 to 15 years, it's clearly a very, very sensitive and very important topic for all families that will have to go through a transition. The generational transition, it's always a difficult topic. It does require years of planning. If you look at the statistics that we have in our report, it clearly shows that less than half of the family offices and the families that we have interviewed are really ready with a proper transitional plan in place, and only less than 25% really have a well thought out and agreed in writing transitional plan. It is really an existential issue for families and family offices. You do see transitions going very smoothly when they're well planned in advance, and there the family office clearly can play a very significant role in ensuring that this happens in a smooth way. We see transitions that are extremely complicated when they're not well planned and well planned in advance. So yes, it is a very sensitive topic. It will be a very key issue for all the families that will go through generational transitions over the next 10 years. If you look at the statistics, almost 70% of family offices that we have interviewed do expect some form of generational change in the next 10 to 15 years, and it does take a long time to have a very well thought through generational transition plan. So our advice to all of our clients is not to underestimate the importance of this, in particular at this point in time where, for generational reasons, there will really be a massive transfer of wealth.
And Anurag Mahesh, what have we learned in this year's report from your side about both succession planning and generational transfer? A critical issue, of course. Is progress fast enough?
It's never fast enough. That's one part. The second part is, I think if you just look at, there are about 70% of the families who are thinking about that, right? At least from an Asian context. Not every one of them has executed on those plans, because obviously it takes time. More than half of those families who are thinking about succession planning, which is 7 in 10 families, have got something in place, and the half of them are still looking at executing it. So I think that while it is a journey, and Asian families, being nascent wealth that they have, are still not as advanced as the European or the US families, I think they're certainly making a good progress, and in years to come, we will see more and more plans being executed. To me, what is important is that 7 in 10 families have either got a plan in place or are thinking about it.
And that's Anurag Mahesh bringing us to the end of this 210th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via your preferred podcast platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.